All right. Well, it's good to see everyone fellowshipping. How many of you glad to be in God's house today? Amen. Amen. Guys, I hope y'all had a great week this past week. It's been a good one. You know, anytime the Lord gives us another week, I consider that a great week. Amen. And we're kind of winding down the school year. I know all the kids are excited about that. And amen. Can I get a hand clap for that? Amen. All right. So they're ready to get out, but they're not as ready to get out as we're ready to get them out. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Amen. Well, guys, we're going to embark down another road today. I'm going to start a new series beginning today. And I just want to remind you now, next Sunday, we do have Youth Sunday. Our youth are going to be conducting the service. James is going to bring the message. We got several of our youth are going to be singing. So we want you to come out and support that. It's going to be a great time next Sunday. But we're going to start a new series entitled The Parables of Jesus. Now, I've always been fascinated by the parables that Jesus spoke in. In the New Testament alone, there's about 30 of these parables that are recorded. Now, certainly we could spend months and months talking about all of them. I'm going to choose about 4 or 5 weeks worth of going over one individual parable each of those weeks. We're going to start today with one of the first parables that Jesus spoke of to his disciples, and that's the parable of the sower. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Amen. We're going to talk about these. You know, I love parables because Jesus recognized the audience that he was talking to. And that's why these parables are so important, because Jesus knew that there were going to be some times where when he started talking about some of the deeper things of the kingdom, the people weren't going to understand him. So what he did was he said, okay, you know what? Everybody understands stories, right? Even as kids, even as adults here, if somebody tells us a story about a particular thing, we'll probably remember it a lot sooner than if we just give them all the facts about that thing right up front, right? Well, that's what Jesus was doing here. These parables are simply stories that have an application to life. And that's what Jesus was doing with these parables. He was trying to get across to his disciples, look, there's a lot of things I want to tell you, so I'm going to tell it to you in a way that you can understand it. And I hope and pray that when we get done today, that you'll understand exactly what this parable is about. I've brought sermons about this parable before in a roundabout way, but as I'm doing this series here, I want to bring these parables to you to help you understand what Jesus wanted to get across. And they're very applicable to our lives now. So we're going to begin in chapter 13. We're going to read verses 3 through 8, and then we're going to jump down to verses 18 through 23. So those of you that can, I'm going to ask you to stand in honor and reverence of reading God's Word. We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 13 with verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Now skipping down to verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside, by the path he's talking about here. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Father God, we just ask now, Lord, you add your blessings to the reading of your word. Lord, in these next few minutes, Lord, just let your message be brought today in a way that we will understand, and let it all be about you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, in this parable, beginning in verse 4 right here, Jesus tells us that the birds came basically and ate up the seed that were sown along this path. So here come these birds. These are seed. Now, guys, I want you to understand some things here as we go into this parable. When I talk about sowing seed, I'm talking about witnessing. I'm talking about sharing Jesus with other people. That's what we're talking about when we say sowing seed. So don't think of this in the literal sense, although I love the way that Jesus used farming and sowing seed to help get a point across. Before you ever get a plant to grow, you got to what? You got to sow it, right? You got to plant it. Same is true with God's word. The only way we're going to get it to grow in somebody's life is we got to plant it, and it's got to take root in their life, right? So that's what we're looking at right here. So whenever you hear the word sower mentioned in this sermon today, we're talking about someone who is witnessing and sharing the gospel with someone else. Okay, so keep that in mind as we go. So verse 4 says that the birds came, they ate up these seed that were thrown along the path. Now, these birds, or fowl, as the King James Version refers to them, signifies evil. It signifies evil. We're talking about Satan here, guys. You know the situation. You've been a sower before. You tried to sow into somebody's life, and man, you're just throwing out seeds. You're throwing out some witnessing to these people, and it's like it's going in one ear and out the other. That's what he's talking about throwing seeds along the path, and they got devoured up right away. In other words, before these people will let them even have a chance to take hold, the devil's already turned them away from what it was you were trying to tell them. Don't get discouraged, though. How many of you have had people that have done that to you when you've tried to witness to them? They just kind of, yeah, well, okay. And then before you know it, they're off doing whatever they were doing beforehand. Anybody have that happen? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on this, but how many of you gave up on those people? How many of you just said, oh, well, I can't reach them? Guys, don't ever give up. Don't ever give up on doing good. Don't grow weary, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, in doing good, for in due season you will reap a harvest if you do not grow weary. How do you reap a harvest? You got to sow it first, amen? So you don't always get to see the harvest right away, but it's coming, trust me. It's coming. So here the evil that's coming in. Now, guys, evil comes in a lot of forms in our lives, doesn't it? It can be the evil of pornography. It can be the evil of excessive drinking beyond what you should be. The evil of foul language. It can be the evil of idolatry, putting idols ahead of serving God. The evil of sex outside of marriage. No matter what that evil is, the devil's constantly trying to gobble up any good seed that you're trying to sow when it lands on that bare ground. He's there trying to gobble it up just as quick as those seed come out. Now, verse 5 and 6, let's read those again together real quick. It says, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now, guys, those of you that know anything about planting stuff, probably not a good idea to plant on top of rock, right? That's not a good idea. Because what happens is those plants come up real quick. If they get a little moisture, they're going to look like they're doing good. But all of a sudden that hot sun comes out on them and it kills them. Why? Because they could not send their roots down deep enough to stay nourished, to stay growing. That's what happens in a lot of people's lives we try to sow into, doesn't it? That's the same thing that happens. You see, verse 5 and 6 tells us that some of those seed were sown along rocky ground. And because there wasn't any depth in that soil, they came up quickly now. They came up quickly, but when the hot sun came out on them, they were scorched because they had no root. Let me tell you what this situation's about right here. You go in there and you start sowing into somebody's life, and man, they get excited. What this parable's talking about here in this part, these are the people that they're listening to you. They're listening to you and they're starting to get excited a little bit, but guess what? Things start happening in their lives. They start getting distracted. They start having this happen and that happen. And before you know it, They wither away and they quit coming to church. They quit hanging out with you. They quit coming to Bible study with you and youth with you and your Sunday school classes with you. Why? Because the word did not take root in their lives. Guys, we got a lot of people in churches today, not just here at Bethesda, but all across this land that don't have enough root to be growing in the Lord. Amen. If you believe that, say amen. Guys, we got a lot of people. They're walking around. They're saying, yeah, I'm a born-again believer, but I don't have any roots. My roots aren't deep in the soil. My roots aren't deep in God's word. I'm a shallow believer. How many of you know shallow believers? I know a lot of them. I know a lot of shallow believers. These are people that you sow into them and they start growing a little bit, but I ain't going to get too involved with that. I don't know about all this stuff now. They just won't let their roots go down deep. That's what happened when you sow on rocky ground. You're sowing on ground that these roots are not going to develop. Why? Because they're hitting something that's blocking them. That's what happens in our lives a lot of times. We'll sow into somebody's life, but guess what? Everything else in their life is blocking the message you're trying to send to them. Everything else is getting in the way. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. Don't give up on them. Amen? Don't give up on them. What if somebody give up on you the first time they told you about Jesus? How many of you be saved right now? I guarantee you, for a lot of you, it took a lot of people inviting you over and over and talking to you over and over before you finally accepted Jesus as your Savior. If they'd just come along and thrown out a little seed along your path and you didn't let those seed grow and take root and start showing up at church every Sunday and start reading your Bible every Sunday, they would have given up on you. Guys, don't ever give up on people like that. Jesus was trying to send a twofold message here. Here's how you should sow. Here's what's going to happen when you sow. But I didn't ever intend for you to just forget about them. Amen. I didn't intend for you to just walk away and leave the situation. Let's look at verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Some of these seed in verse 7 were sown among thorns, and eventually the thorns choked the plants. Guys, you ever planted a beautiful garden? I'm going to tell you why some of you fail at gardening now. You ready for gardening 101 today? I'm going to tell you why you fail. Because you ain't willing to pull the weeds out and pull the thorns out, amen? Some of you, I've ridden by and seen some gardens in this county. I couldn't tell the weeds from the plants, amen? I was like, what are they growing, thistle out there? Guys, I'm going to tell you, unless you're willing to pull out those weeds in your life and get rid of them, you're not going to grow. You're not going to take root. You're not going to survive. I don't mean necessarily a physical survival. I'm talking about spiritual survival here. You see, these are the people who hear the word, but the worries of this life get the best of them. They just let everything else get in the way of them growing in Christ. Why? The thorns in life are coming up all around them. Guys, we got a lot of thorns that are growing up around us each and every day, right? We got the thorns of doubt. We've got the thorns of disobedience. We've got the thorns of gossip and slander and all kind of other things around our lives here that are trying to choke us out and trying to get rid of our production for the kingdom. That's what happened here in this situation right here. He's saying basically the worries of this life and the deceitfulness and the pursuit of wealth is what's killing some people away from serving God right here. It's literally choking them out right now is what he's saying in his word. Oh, but guess what? There is a bright ending to this parable right here. How many of you sowed seed in good soil in somebody's life and they did take root? Raise your hand. Amen. How many of you glad you did? Say amen. Amen. I'm glad I've sown into some people's lives over the year, and I'm glad people have sown into my life. So let's look at verse 8 right here. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. Now, look at how that's worded there. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. In other words, we're not going to all bear the same amount of fruit, but when you're a born-again believer and you love Jesus and you love serving Him, you're going to produce some fruit, amen? You're not going to just sit idly by and not do anything. So when those seed land on good soil, you can expect great things to happen in that person's life. That plant is going to germinate. It's going to grow. Those roots are going to grow deep. that soil's going to be fertile. They're going to get in God's Word, and they're going to root themselves in the Word of Jesus, and they're going to grow spiritually, physically, and mentally along the way. That's a great thing. That's a great experience when you've ever been able to do that. I hope and pray that everybody in here has at least led one person to the Lord. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. If you're a born-again believer and you cannot think of one specific person you actually helped lead to the Lord, shame on you. Boy, everybody's head popped up then. They heard shame on you in that. Nobody heard a word I said till then, amen. No, I'm just kidding. But it's interesting. You know, it's interesting up here in the pulpit on Sunday mornings, I tell you. I see some interesting things up here. Y'all don't see them. I see them, though. I see people down there, they ain't paying a bit of attention until I say, shame on you, and their head popped up just like that. Amen. But I love it, though, anyway. I'm not making fun of anybody. I just think it's funny when you stand up here and see how everybody reacts to certain things. But, guys, I'm going to tell you something. If you can't remember the last person you helped lead to the Lord, or you can't remember actually leading someone to the Lord, guess what that says? You have not sown seed. Some people being believers for 40, 50, 60 years, where's the seed you've sown? Or either you did this, you threw some out, they didn't land in the right spot, and they didn't take root, so you just gave up on it. Well, guys, I'm telling you what, don't ever give up on sowing. Don't ever give up on sowing. Because you see here, when those seed fell on good soil, it produced a crop 160 or 30-fold what was there before. You see, this part of the parable refers to the person who gets it. These are the people who get it. This is the person who truly accepts Jesus into their heart, and they begin immediately to produce for the Lord. They begin immediately. It doesn't take 5 or 6 years or 50 years in some cases for people to start doing something for the Lord. It doesn't take all that amount of time. These are the true believers who want to do and be all they can for the kingdom. These are your true believers right here. They want to do and be all they can for the kingdom. These are the people with whom Jesus is well pleased. Is Jesus well pleased with you? Is He pleased with your level of sowing? Guess what? You reap what you sow. That's also in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Make no mistake, God shall not be mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. If you're saying you're a born-again believer and you're not sowing seeds of faith into someone's life, you're going to have to reap the consequences from that later on. You know what the sad consequence of some of that's going to be? Your loved ones are going to end up in hell. That's the sad truth of it. Why? Because you wouldn't sow into their life. Because you were a hearer of the word, but you were not a doer of the word. Guys, it's not enough just to hear it. You got to do it. You can't sow seed just by listening to them. Seeds don't make any noise, amen? Trust me, I've never heard one that talked to me. If I ever do, that'll be a great day, because then I'll be able to communicate them with them and say, hey, could you come up a little quicker, amen? We're in the middle of a drought. We need to get you on through this process here. But I've never heard them say anything, okay? So guys, these are the people that really get it. They really understand it. You see, Jesus was trying to help his disciples understand that even though they're going to sow and sow and sow the gospel, there'll be many times when it simply falls on the ground. It's going to fall on the ground. I got sense enough to know right now in this room with this many people in here that some of the stuff I'm trying to sow today is falling on the ground, and as fast as it hits the ground, the devil's gobbling it up in your life right now. You know how I know that? Because you're listening to your neighbors and not doing what you know is right in your life, and all you're thinking about now is when you get home, what you're going to do this afternoon. You're not focused on the word. See, that's the seed that are sown on the ground, and the devil gobbles it up just as quick as they hit there. There'll be times when you think that your friends and loved ones are getting it, but before you know it, they've quit following Jesus. That's a sad day in the life of someone, isn't it? When they just walk away from the Lord. Guess what? Joy comes in the morning, amen? If you believe that, say amen. How many of you walked away from Jesus only to have Him grab you and pull you back in a great relationship with Him? Say amen. I'm going to tell you what, He did it to me. I'm glad Jesus didn't just let me walk off and not bring me back. But too many times we as believers, we sow into people's lives. What do? We let them walk right out the door, and we don't try to go back after them. That's wrong. It may take some people many years before God is able to germinate that seed that you sowed in their life. Don't give up on them. Don't quit on them. There'll also be times when you're excited for your friends and loved ones because they seem to have gotten past that rocky ground, only to see them give up because they wouldn't let the word take root in their lives. How many of you know people like that? You've thought there, oh man, they're turning the corner. They're doing so much better. And then all of a sudden they just wither and die. They just wither and die. For what? Because they wouldn't allow the seed to take root and to grow down deep into their soul. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, and it's for real, Jesus begins the germination process of that seed that was sowed in your life, and that root grows so deep in your heart, you can't not serve Jesus. Amen? Because I don't know about you, I can't walk away from my Lord. I can't walk away from my Jesus. I'd be scared to try to say, well, Jesus, I'm tired of working for you. I'm going on about things my way. That'd scare me to death. But you know what? I don't think that bothers some people. I think they can take it or leave it. That's the seed we're talking about that's thrown out on the path and it gets gobbled up before it ever sinks in. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. There'll always be times when you see growth beginning, but here comes the thorns. Here comes the thorns. Guys, I know people right now used to come to this church on a regular basis, but they've let thorns spring up in their life. They're letting thorns choke out what God's trying to do in their life. And they're not recognizing it, and they're not pulling those thorns up and throwing them over to the side so that they can continue to grow up in the Lord. They're stagnant. They're getting choked out. We need to pray for these people. We need to pray that God will move in their lives and that we won't give up on them, and we'll keep talking to them and helping them get those thorns out of their life so that they can continue to grow. They choke out the word and leave the person pursuing various idols in their lives. Guys, you know what? So many people in this day and age right now, they're off worshiping idols. I'm not talking about little figures. I'm talking about things that have taken precedent in their life over serving God. You do realize, and I've told you many times, anything is an idol in your life when it comes between you and God. When it comes between you and your service of the King, it has become an idol in your life. We need to get rid of them. Those are thorns. Those idols are the thorns in your life that are grabbing you and they're choking you. A lot of people here in this church used to come more than just once. They would come to the services we had here. Now it's dwindled down to 10, 15, 20 people maybe. You need to ask yourself, are you allowing thorns to choke you out? Is there something more important in your life than serving God? If it is, we need to talk. Because where I came from, God's numero uno, amen. He's number one, and he's always got to be that way if you're going to live the life he wants you to live. But you see, some people just let those thorns choke them out. And last but not least, there's going to be those times when all your work as a sower pays off. That's going to be a time for rejoicing, amen. That's going to be a time for rejoicing. These are the friends and loved ones who not only get it, they live it. How many of you know somebody that lives Jesus every day? I know them. And I'm not talking about people who have been Christians for 30 or 40 or 50 years. We ought to all be living for Jesus if we've been a believer that long. I'm talking about some people just accepted Jesus not long ago or so on fire that you couldn't put them out if you had a 500-gallon tank dumping water on them, amen? It wouldn't put them out. They're that on fire for the Lord. I hope and pray 50 years from now that fire's still going as brightly as it is right now. Amen. Because if it is, man, you've sowed many seed in somebody's path, in somebody's life, and I guarantee you a lot of them are going to germinate. They're going to grow. You know why? Because you were a good sower. You didn't give up. Brothers and sisters, this parable we've discussed this morning is so true of us even today in the 21st century. Jesus spoke this thing years ago to his disciples, but it's as applicable to us today as it was to them back then. We must never, never, never think that our work is in vain. Don't give up. That's why churches are closing their doors right now. That's why churches are being sold to other churches who get the picture Because people have given up. Don't give up on serving God. Because if you ever do that, you're in trouble. We can't survive as a church. We can't survive as a country. We can't survive as a world if we give up on serving the one and only thing that can save this miserable place. Amen. Amen? Jesus is the only answer to this lost and dying world we live in. Don't shut him out. Don't give up on him. We must continue to sow regardless of the many times we seem to fail the loss. Because there will be times, brothers and sisters, when those seed do fall on good ground. Amen. Joy comes in the morning. Amen. There's going to be times where those seed fall on good ground and they spring forth and bear fruit that will have made it all worth it. I want to ask you this morning, where are you sowing? When's the last time you sowed some seed in somebody's life? I'm going to be honest with you. We need movers and shakers, not liars and fakers. Amen. I came up with that one on my own. We need some movers and shakers in this world. Not these people running around lying, acting all fake and stuff. We need some people that are going to throw out some seed. I've said this before, and I mean it in a loving way. If you're not a real sower, then get out of the way of those who are sowing. Amen. Just move out of the way. You can reserve your little spot wherever it is, but we're going to be throwing some seed out here as long as I'm here. That's what my goal is anyway. I hope it's the mission of this church to grow. In order to grow, you got to what? You got to sow. Amen. Woo, I'm on a roll. In order to grow, you got to sow. And that's the only way it's going to happen, folks. Let me tell you what happens to a lot of us, and I'm going to close. You know why a lot of us fail at this? Because we get discouraged thinking, oh, I've sown into their lives. I'm not helping them get to where they're supposed to be. God, what's going on? Let me tell you something. Your job is to sow. God's job is to grow. Amen. And as soon as we realize that's our role, it's not about us fertilizing and watering and nurturing and pulling in, you know, manipulating the growth. That's God's job. Too many Christians come out saying, oh man, I didn't help this person get saved. Well, did you sow into their life? Yeah, well, you helped them. They may not be saved yet, but guess what? You keep doing your part. We serve an awesome God who's going to always do his part. Amen. He's going to always do his part. So don't ever grow weary in doing good. You got to keep sowing, guys. That's the only way we're going to keep growing here in churches all across this land. We must sow. And guess who it's got to begin with? Me. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and everybody in this room have got to be sowers of the word. We've got to be doers of the word. We cannot just simply hear the word week after week. At some point in time, we got to be doing what we're hearing, amen? If you believe that, say amen. Amen. If you're asleep, say amen. All right, I didn't catch anybody but one that time. I don't think they realized what they were saying, amen? Guys, in all honesty here, I mean, isn't it good that you can have fun in the Lord? Amen?
Amen.
I mean, it's good to be able to joke around and all, but there's a seriousness that we need to understand here. Some of us need to ask ourselves the question, what is my purpose? You ever ask yourself that? You ever ask, have you ever sat down in your prayer time with God and said, God, what is my purpose here? If you've never asked God that, then he probably has not had a very successful time revealing what your purpose is. But guys, every one of you's got a purpose here. I'm not good at anything. Well, don't be good at nothing. Amen. Everybody's got something that they can be doing for the kingdom. God's got a plan for every one of us. Now, we're not going to all be teachers. We're not going to all be preachers. We're not going to all be missionaries. But we're all called to something. Amen.
Amen.
We're all called to do something with our life. To reach out and help others. The question is, what are you doing with what God's given you? Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, I just pray that you will just touch us here today, God. I tried to bring your word as best I could. Lord, I pray it hasn't fallen on deaf ears. I pray that it'll challenge some people here today into thinking about our job as sowers. Lord, we've been called to sow those seed. Lord, we're not called to do anything but sow. The rest is your part, God. You have to change hearts and minds. We can't get in there and do that, but Lord, you can bring the right circumstances into people's lives. There may be somebody in this room right now today that because someone has sown into their life, they're feeling conviction of your Holy Spirit right now to do things differently in their lives. I pray, God, they'll come up here to this altar and pray and lay this down. God, I pray if there's anyone here today that needs to accept you as their Savior, that they'll do it now. They won't keep waiting and saying, oh, well, I've got time. I'm gonna get right before it's too late. I've heard that so many times, Lord, and guess what? It's too late for some of them. And I just pray, Father, that your will and your way will always be done, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing? Hymn number 474. Let's stand and sing hymn number 474.